the 9.
Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Coast to coast, all the nooks and crannies in between. We think of it as water cooler buzz. And like Madonna, who I know is so passe, used to say, feel free to express yourself. I'm going to give you the digits right from the get-go. 800-259-5791. The president is in the middle of kind of a little mini hailstorm because of a speech last week about Middle East peace. Imagine that. Another president trying to desperately bring about peace in the Middle East. That dates back to before I was born. So Obama really lit a fuse to a bomb when he endorsed, when he defended his endorsement of Israel's 1967 boundaries as what would be the basis for a future Palestine. And as it would happen, on Sunday he talked to a pro-Israel lobbying group and reiterated his same views, saying that this is not something new, that in fact these principles, this way of thinking for the U.S., has gone back many presidents ago, back to President Bill Clinton and his mediation efforts between the two states, if you will, the Palestinian state and the Israeli state. So he tried to do his best to calm the crowd, saying that, you know, if there's a controversy, it's not based in substance. And that what he did on Thursday was to say publicly what has been acknowledged in private. And that we can't wait for a decade or 2 decades or 3 decades to try to achieve peace. Do you think an American president is going to achieve peace? He is going to be the conduit for what happens to the Palestinians and the Israelis. He's going to be the one that's going to broker that deal. Not trying to be a negative Nancy on you, but I'm going to say no. I think it is a phantom idea that won't happen. The talk is always interesting, but the talk never leads to results. So he didn't back away from his remarks, even though he got some boos, as you can imagine, from the people that he was addressing on Sunday. And he did throw this in, that the only way we'll ever have peace, the only way this will happen, is if we have this land swap. It's the only way we can do it. And that we have to negotiate a border that is different from the one that existed on June 4th, 1967. Of course, that was before Israel grabbed the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem, and 500,000 Israelis settled on those lands after that six-day war. So what are we talking about with mutually agreed land swaps? Anytime anyone starts talking about land and swapping it, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. So in that group, they were uncomfortable. Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich, who had a really rough week the previous week, he decided he would jump into this one easily and said the U.S. shouldn't apply any pressure on Israel in light of the reconciliation agreement between the Palestinian president, Abbas, and the Islamic militant group Hamas, which controls Gaza. And Gingrich, as he was on Face the Nation, the CBS program, he said, how do you have peace with a Hamas organization whose goal is the destruction of Israel and driving every Israeli out of the country. He has a point. I wouldn't deal with Hamas. So, the bigger picture is, the big picture is, can an American president broker this peace? And I'm going to say no. That's not going to happen. President will be out of pocket this week anyway because he is on a trip to Ireland to discover his roots. I'm serious. They say he can trace his roots back to Ireland. So he's going to Ireland. We'll have more on that coming up this week. He's going to Ireland. He's going to England, France, and Poland throughout the entire week, talking about the economics, the future, all that kind of stuff with those countries and Libya. Oh, yeah, there's that deal with Muammar Gaddafi and then the Libyan rebels who were backing, whoever those rebels happen to be. But Muammar Gaddafi's still hanging on, even if it's by a thread, right? He's still hanging on, though. That's the key. All right, a little bit closer to home as we reel it back in. As the president leaves, sadly, in our country, what's happened, when I say in our backyards, is the fear of tornadoes. We just had a month ago, Alabama, so many cities there, towns ripped to shreds. Too many lives lost. I mean, almost 300. Tuscaloosa, which is the University of Alabama's, is headquartered there. Some very sad tales. In Missouri, they're saying at least 30-some people dead. A massive motherlode tornado blasted its way across the southwestern part of the state and tore up a hospital, flipped cars, destroyed neighborhoods, and in its wake left, you know, 30-plus people dead. And it's lucky in the hospital that you didn't have people who were immediately killed. Some of them were in the hallway. Some of them were in the parking lot as they were being shuttled off to other hospitals. They only had a few minutes to deal with it. And at least they had those few minutes. But that doesn't give you much time when you're trying to hustle people out of beds and wheel them out of the hospital and, you know, just get them to a safer place. But they did, so that's the one good thing that came out of that. But those people were moved just in the, you know, just in the nick of time, really. And I think of all the news that I heard over the weekend, the one that hit me the most, and maybe it's because I was watching a lot of sports over the weekend, that's kind of my kickback thing to do. I was watching the Phillies and the Rangers play. I was watching, and in fact, went out to go to the Colonial PGA Tour stop, which was really fun to watch some of the best golfers in the world crank it around. But the best thing that happened is they had an arrest in the Brian Stowe attack. You know that name, Brian Stowe? He was the Giants fan who was beaten so badly he has brain damage. And all he was doing was going to watch his team when he was in Los Angeles, so excited that he had a ticket to see him. But because so many detectives were on this, they finally made an arrest. Woohoo! Bravo for them. I think it's excellent news, and I think the rest of the dominoes will fall. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233. For the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
America Tonight. When we started off the show, I said it wouldn't be America Tonight if we weren't talking about a bunch of disasters. But what really happens if some kind of a natural disaster or any other kind of disaster left us without power? I went to a concert earlier in the day and I looked around and everybody was texting and they had their Bluetooth on and, you know, and go anywhere and pay attention to, you know, sit at your airport gate and watch what's going on. We are all about the technical. I asked this question on our last show. How many computers do you have? What other kind of hookups do you have? And it turned out I thought I was kind of, you know, on the low end, but it turned out I was actually on the high end. What happens if it all goes dead? What happens in general? It's like the grid. What happens when the grid goes down? Whew. You get, man, then you're really holding your breath, aren't you? What are you doing? Do you have any clue what would happen? Seasoned journalist Thomas Lewis has been looking into this, and he can certainly fill in the blanks and answer, I think, some of the hard questions that we've been talking about for a very long time here on America Tonight. He wrote the EQ Index, and it's an annual survey of the environment of the United States for National Wildlife Magazine and the World Almanac. And he's also the author of Brace for Impact. Tom, thanks so much for popping on America Tonight.
You're very welcome.
So let's talk about the EQ Index. Explain that a little bit more for the listeners. Flush that out for us.
Well, it's no longer published, but for 8 years I did that for National Wildlife Magazine and World Almanac, and what it was an annual review of the state and trends of the environment nationwide. It's what got me into the into the field of concern that I have, because for all of those 8 years, and actually during that time I did a 20-year retrospective of EQ indexes, and each one for 20 years had shown things getting worse. You know, we would have periods of improvement in such things as the ozone layer, which is one of the minor success stories of environmentalism, and we would have fishable waters return to Cleveland and Washington D.C. But as these successes came about, at the same time, the underlying problems were getting far worse. I mean, we generally recognize that our rivers are cleaner today than they were 20 years ago, but at the same time, they're far more polluted with nutrients and with pharmaceuticals than they were 20 years ago. So while a few things have been improved, as somebody said sarcastically, we've managed to get the bowling balls and dead bodies out of our water supply, there's still a lot of stuff in it. And the other problems similarly have not shown much improvement. The danger to us as a society has been increasing to the point where I think the strain is now not survivable with respect to our food supply, our energy supply, our water supply, and various other ways. And I reviewed it in the book Brace for Impact, the reasons why we should be worried about the kind of event that you were just describing with electricity. There are several areas in which we face growing dangers of serious disruption to our lives.
Yeah, talk about that. Give us a couple of quick hits. The electricity boom goes out completely. What happens then? I mean, it's down. It's not going to be fixed in an hour or two. It's down. Forget just your cable. Who cares about the cable at that point? We're talking about everything just across the entire United States. What would that do to us?
Well, it would disable us, and the thing to understand, I think, is that with this, as with a lot of other potential occurrences that are very, very real in their increasing likelihood, the misuse of the grid has brought it down in large sections of the country already. And I won't go into the technology of it, but industry is misusing the grid to maximize profit, just like they're misusing the air and the water and the land to maximize profit. At the same time, they haven't invested in it, and we have a very old grid. As somebody said, 100 years of this technology, and we're still using strings on sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So what would happen? The first thing to remember or to really come to grips with is that this is not a matter of having some food laid up in the pantry or some extra water in your bathtub. This is a situation in which you're not going to need supplies. You're going to need skills. And it's not a situation that you can prepare for overnight or by going out and getting a disaster kit from the local Mart. You're going to have to know how to do things that that we've all forgotten how to do. It's going to be necessary to produce your own energy. We do have the technology and we have the knowledge, and it's not that hard, but it involves some hard decisions and some serious changes in lifestyle.
Right. So you're talking about, I mean, seriously, like rubbing sticks together, right? You're talking about the old fire kind of stuff and candles and that kind of, it's just to get by at least in the very beginning. Am I right?
Yeah. There's no question about that. And, one of the proximate causes could be a solar storm, the kind of which we've had before, and the kind of damage these solar storms occur all the time in random directions. The last time one hit the Earth was prior to our dependence on electricity. We did have electricity, and these kinds of radiation bursts just completely melt the system. This there's no reason for this not to happen tomorrow. It's a random chance kind of thing. But sustainable living, I mean, the thing that I tried to get across in the book is that what we have to do now, we, the passengers on this particular Titanic, have got to learn how to build lifeboats. And the lifeboat is sustainable living. And, when you say, I get a little itchy when you say going back to rubbing sticks together. it isn't quite going back to primitive life, because there's a lot of the technology that we can take with us that'll last quite a long time. But it is a different kind of consumption. We've become used to this sort of heedless thing of when I need something, I flip the switch and it's there.
Yeah.
We're going to have to learn to think about our electric and energy consumption. You do that when you have solar. I have a solar installation that can provide my basic needs. But, boy, you can't just leave on all the phantoms, the energy eaters, and you're always on TV, and you're always on appliances, and your remote controls, and your battery chargers. You have to come to grips with what energy you use, why you use it, and whether you can afford to keep using it. So you have to make a lot of choices. You have to take responsibility for something that we haven't thought about as a people for decades. It's just always been there. And you can't just start doing that when the emergency hits. There's got to be some preparation and some learning. I'd like to talk a little bit about the food supply, because our very supply of food is in mortal peril, both from where it's produced in terms of the way we're destroying soil and the manner in which it's delivered. We have a thing called just-in-time food delivery. People are not aware of the fact that there are no more food warehouses in cities. The food warehouse is the 18-wheeler that's going to arrive at 3 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. and the product is going to be gone by 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The whole country is set up that way, which means that if there's any interruption in petroleum supply, any natural disaster that interferes with the traveling of the big trucks, food is going to be gone in a matter of hours, not a matter of days. That's the way the whole country and much of the world is set up now.
Right.
Where do
people
you get
just
food when you can't go down to the 7-Eleven and get food?
Right.
You can't start thinking about that on the day the food is gone.
And you're right. We have a society, I mean, all of us are guilty of it, where we flip a switch. It's like I said, when you look around the modern conveniences and then the gluttony, I guess, that all of us probably, if we looked around, many of us anyway, are guilty of it. You mentioned the phantom power, all that stuff, little things even that people could learn to do that they just don't do. They don't think about it until it's too late, when something has hit, and then they have no way to know what they're supposed to do. Tom, can you hang through with us?
Certainly.
Great. This is an interesting conversation. We're speaking with Tom Lewis. He's got a book out called Brace for Impact. Are you ready should something happen? It's your chance to get ready. Stay with us.
Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled Organicaseed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Do you worry? Worried about gas prices or rising food costs? How about the incredible shrinking grocery? Are you looking for a way to supplement your food dollars, increase your nutrition, and prepare for an uncertain future? Would you like all of this to be free? Well, do we have an answer for you? Wild Edible Food. Author Linda Runyon spent many years learning to eat off the grid, and many more refining her methods. When she retired from that life, she became dedicated to passing her knowledge on to people just like you. Let Linda show you how to add nutrition, stretch your food dollar, and depend less on established food supply channels. Go to ofthefield.com and take advantage of the same materials that groups, schools, camps, and churches are using to solve some of the problems you may be worried about. Or call 1-888-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com. Or call 1-888-513-2837 and take a big step toward peace of mind.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
My name's John, and I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When you can't get food, water, or energy, you got a family and you got to figure out what to do next. Do you have any idea whatsoever? It's interesting. We're having a great conversation with Tom Lewis, and his book is called Brace for Impact. I love that title. It's just Brace for Impact. If we have that impact, will you survive? Will you even have the first clue about trying to survive? Because, you know, you just can't call your family a couple of states over because nothing's working. You can't charge up that phone. You can't. You got to be able to rely on your own survival skills. Do you have any of them? And we were talking about the food supply. And, Tom, you made some great points talking about what happens when you, those 18-wheelers don't roll up. And you were mentioning that the warehouses aren't full of food. And do you think people – I think most people don't know that. They don't realize that there's nothing there.
It's a very precarious supply chain. The other part of it is that they've moved production of food to the parts of the world where it can be done most cheaply and with less environmental oversight and regulation, so that your food is coming. There was a recent study. It gets a lot of quotes, as I say in the book. This study says that the average item on your dinner plate has traveled 1,500 miles to get there, but that study was only of produce in America. When you factor in the fact that your tilapia is coming from China and your steak is coming from Argentina, and we're talking about fresh fruit and vegetables that are being transported by jet cargo plane halfway around the world to be consumed. And that supply line is extremely tenuous as we approach a thing called peak oil, which is another major threat that we're facing.
Sure.
People talk about running out of oil. Running out of oil is not the problem. Oil is about to become so scarce that not all orders can be filled regardless of price. And at that point, the world is going to be a very scary place, and it won't be fixable. So there are a number of ways. The irony that occurs to me is that while this is so, as long as we keep asking the question, how do we fix this? How do we fix it so that everybody is going to be okay? We're not going to come up with an answer because there's no logically possible answer to that question. But if the question is, how can I save myself and my family?
Yes.
The answer is relatively easy. Although there are hard choices involved, you can't continue to live your jet-setter lifestyle if you intend to survive what's coming. You've got to learn and practice sustainable living starting ASAP. We don't know the hour at which the breakdown starts to happen. We don't know the direction from which it comes, whether it's a natural disaster, the big earthquake in California. I've been pointing out, and I like to mention my website, The Daily Impact, which arises out of the book, in which I keep track of how these threats are in current events. I mean, right now, the flooding of the Mississippi River, for example, there's been almost no reporting on what would happen to this country if this historic flood should take out the old river control structure, which is a thing that nobody's ever heard of, that keeps the Mississippi from changing its course as it always has in geologic time and wants to do again. And this time it wants to switch over to the Atchafalaya River Basin and leave the port of New Orleans high and dry and take wipe out the lower stretch of the Mississippi River in terms of commerce from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. It would bring the economy of this country to its knees. Nobody has any inkling of how close we are to that right now with a 300-year flood rolling down the Mississippi and lapping at the edges of the old river control structure. These threats are everywhere, they're rising, and, my hair's on fire about it.
And you made some excellent points about that. So let's look at this just quickly. Give us some of those hits. Starting tomorrow, I think I have some survival skills, but I'm sure there are many more I don't know about. What would you tell, Tom, everybody listening, some quick things that they can just do right now to start learning how to be able to survive?
Learn how to grow food. And this is something that you can do in a city environment. I know people who are growing a great proportion of what they eat on suburban scale lots. You can grow an amazing amount of food on a small piece of ground or even on a piece of rooftop if you do that. Now, that condo or suburban yard is not likely to be sustainable or to be able to be lived on sustainably after the emergency, but you can be learning how to grow food, which is going to be one of the single most important skills. Start producing some of your own energy and dealing with those. Now, let me just go back to growing food. People think, oh, well, I'll start that the year I need the food. No, you won't. It's a complex kind of thing. It's not that difficult in terms of grasping it. But gardening is a pretty iffy thing, and you make a lot of mistakes, and
sure,
you lose a lot of crops. You need to be gardening for several years before you need to depend on gardening. And likewise with your power supply, start doing a little solar and start practicing. How would you live if you could only have, say, a few hundred watts of power part of the day? How could you scale back your existence to that? You're not going to know that. You're not going to be able to find it out after this long emergency begins. So start looking at it now. Now, to be truly sustainable, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave your city of choice. You're going to have to find a piece of ground that's large enough to sustain your energy production and your food production and your fiber production for you and your family. You're going to have to make that change if you really want to make it through this.
And where do you live, Tom? Because you talked about you have some solar, and where do you live?
Somewhere in West Virginia. No, I have a 20-acre farm in West Virginia.
There you go.
And what I get to that is people say, well, not everybody can do that. Well, that's right. And not everybody's going to survive this. There's no easy answer. There's nothing we can say to the person who's living in a high rise and utterly dependent on having every aspect of life brought to them cheaply. There's nothing we can say to those people about how to survive this, the kind of emergency that's bearing down on us.
Yeah. What about water is, of course, something that's tricky for lots of people. What happens? You've got to just pile it up, right?
We're in mortal peril in so many ways, from Las Vegas to Atlanta to New York City. Our water supply is very much on the edge and very much dependent on everything going right all the time. New York City is getting its water through a system that part of which is made of wood. It was built in the 17th and 18th centuries, and they've got a main water supply that is so old and rickety they can't even drain it to repair it, because if the water was drained out it would collapse. And this is the supply for Manhattan. I mean, we are on the edge in so many ways. The Ogallala Aquifer that underlies the Midwestern states that all of our grain crops come from is being depleted at an amazing rate. This is fossil water. It was deposited by the ice age. It's not water that gets replenished, and it's just like oil. There's so much of it there. We're using it at an incredible rate, which means that one day, and there's no way to avoid the logic and the mathematics of this. If you have a finite amount of something and you're using it at an unbelievably fast rate, on a day in the future, it will be gone.
Sure.
What are they going to do when it's gone? I mean, most of our lettuce, our produce, comes from the Central Valley of California, most of which is technically a desert. They pump in the water from 80 miles away at subsidized prices and use it to produce lettuce that we eat in New York. What kind of sense does that make?
None. None.
That's how we have pushed the systems that we regard on, that we depend on for survival, to the very edge. Everything from our topsoil, which is being destroyed at a rate that's just unbelievable. One of the most chilling statistics I ever came across was a Soil Conservation Service statistic that says, in the history of American agriculture, for every ton of grain that we've produced, food or fiber, not just grain, but we've lost an average of 7 tons of topsoil. Now make that arithmetic work into the future.
It can't.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, that is a scary statistic. But, you know, when you tell people this, I'm sure a lot of them just poo-poo. You're like, I don't want to hear this, Tom. Is that what you get?
Yeah. One of my favorite reactions to this sort of thing was a young gentleman that was interviewed. Every once in a while, the media rediscovers that there's going to be a terrible earthquake in San Francisco and Los Angeles. And they go out and do the man on the street, what is it? Do you have an earthquake kit? And my favorite answer was from a young man who sort of looked at the interviewer with a puzzled look and said, why? There's a 7-Eleven right on the corner.
That tells it all right there, doubt. Well, you were a delight to talk to. We can interview you in the future, right, Tom? You'll come
Absolutely, anytime. And can I mention my website again?
Sure.
The Daily Impact. You can Google it and find it. The address is dailyimpact.net.
Dailyimpact.net. We got it. And the book, of course, Brace for Impact. Tom, thanks so much. We appreciate the time.
Pleasure talking to you, Kate.
You too. Tom Lewis. Interesting. He gave you some great information to chew on, no doubt, especially about the topsoil, huh? Well, if you're relying on the 7-Elevens, I think you're in real trouble. Better start gardening. I got to tell you, I'm not great at gardening, but I could get there, and so could you. On the flip side, we're checking the mail. Stay with us.
It is well known that protein nutrition is a key to optimum blood sugar levels. But to benefit at all from protein, your body must first be able to break down protein into amino acids. Once amino acids are liberated from proteins, your body uses them to make brain chemicals that make you feel alert and peaceful at the same time. Your pancreas uses them to regulate blood sugar and insulin. People are waking up and doing an about-face when it comes to nutrition. They are learning that a high-carbohydrate diet may encourage obesity and diabetes. They are now emphasizing proteins more to compensate. One protein source that is more easily broken down into amino acids is non-denatured whey protein. For better blood sugar and better weight, give One World Whey a try. One World Whey is the most powerful whey protein food on the market. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
But before we do that, one quick thing. I've gotten several pings from people on my iPhone about the tornadoes that I mentioned at the very top of the hour. Joplin, Missouri, just like a bomb went off in certain parts. Massive, massive tornado blasting its way across Missouri on Sunday. Just flattened blocks of homes, businesses, people frantically scrambling, trying to get through the wreckage. Hundreds and hundreds of windows blown to bits at a medical center where the patients were literally hustled away from the windows right before that tornado struck, or it could have been incredibly disastrous. In fact, most of the patients were evacuated into a parking lot so that they could get moved to other hospitals in that area. So they were standing there watching this happen. Boy, that would be surreal, wouldn't it? You're sick as all get out. Maybe you're hooked to a bag and you're standing there in a parking lot watching a tornado go by, slam into the outside of the hospital where you just were, and hearing the windows ping out, hearing them just blow out. And debris. See, this is the other thing people don't think about. I've described it where it looks like pickup sticks and things are blown apart. But if you're talking about a medical facility, a hospital, they say that when that storm hit, they had the debris spread about 60 miles away. So what was the debris? Medical records, x-rays, anything that you could imagine in a hospital. Just terrible stuff. 50,000 people, about 160 miles outside of Kansas City, boom, they were cut off. Travel anywhere near Joplin, forget about it. Interstate 44, forget about it. Shut down, baby. I mean, just clogged with all of these buildings falling apart. And by the way, the tornadoes, because I said the Midwest, the really bad damage was in Joplin, but not just in Joplin. Oklahoma, Wisconsin, one person was killed in Minneapolis. We've been talking a lot about twisters lately. A lot about twisters. All right, without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, thank you very much. This one is from Manchester. Manchester says, Kate, I have to tell you that I was in the middle of the twister. When I say I was in the middle of it, I was watching it with wide eyes, thanking God I wasn't one more block down the street. I watched this sucker swirl up and swirl things around, and it looked like just a lot of paper flying around as it tore down the street. I'm not quite sure how wide it was, but I know the base was pretty wide. It was a shocking thing to see, as I have never, as much as I have driven and lived in the Midwest, I have never seen a tornado such as this. I just pray for all the people who have been affected by this storm, and I thank God that I was a block away. All right, and we were just talking about that. We're talking about how terrible it was, and they're saying that they're predicting some more storms this week, and it's the typical stuff that I've described before, cars flipped and that stuff. I think the hospital deal is one of the worst I've heard, though, where you just barely got all the people out, and they're standing there in the parking lot. Okay, this one is from Chuck, who says, what's the scoop on Bin Laden? Last week you were telling us about the U.S. getting a chance to talk to the wives. What's the very latest on that? There hasn't been a lot of stories lately on the aftermath, I think, of Bin Laden, and it hasn't even been a month yet. What say you, America, tonight? Well, it's interesting you say that. I was reading a story. Somebody sent me a link to a story about the widows of Bin Laden. There were three. And that they're apparently picking at each other as they're being grilled, as they're, you know, in custody. So the two older wives are blaming the youngest wife for leading the CIA to the hideout. And what I heard quoted, or what I read that the guy quoted, the Pakistani official, he said it's just vicious. The older wives think the younger one tipped off the American or was tracked when she came to join him. And, of course, this was only 3 weeks ago. He was there living with all three of them, and they're blaming her for tipping off the Americans, tipping off the CIA as to the whereabouts. But they're not getting a lot of, from what I understand, they're not getting a lot of information out of them. And that's what I think they were hoping for, to find out what they knew. And they're trying to say that, you know, they weren't involved in what was happening. And, you know, they didn't know much of what was going on there, who was coming and who was going. And there were children all over the place because they had all kinds of children. And so that was the other part of this. In the compound, there were definitely children there. And we know this, of course, the CIA was watching Bin Laden from satellites and drones, and they would see what they called the tall figure walking around the compound, and that's what they, you know, that's what they saw in trying to figure out when he was and wasn't there. And he was always there because he never left the compound, but he would kind of be the shadow that disappeared when they were watching. Wow. And you know it's strange too, in talking about power, and what do you do if the power's out? I guess the compound didn't use hardly any power, because remember he didn't do the thing where he was sending out emails from computers. A courier went to an internet cafe and downloaded things and loaded up his messages. They had just enough power for a small TV that he had in his top bedroom on the top floor, which of course he was watching porn with or whatever, and enough for a little bit of light, and that's it. So when the sun went down, boy, there wasn't much happening in that compound, I don't think anyway. I don't think so. So more details are starting to emerge, but I don't think those wives are going to really give up much. And it doesn't sound like they really knew very much to begin with. So that's not necessarily surprising. Okay, here's another one. This is from the fan man, Katie. Have you read the story about the fact that finally they got that scumbag who beat up the San Francisco Giants fan? Yeah, you know what? This just happened. There was some kind of a tip from one of the officers that led to them tracking down or arresting what they're calling the key suspect for that Giants fan who was outside of Dodger Stadium and got beat up so badly that he had to be hospitalized, and it just outraged everybody, in San Francisco, and many of the Dodger fans too. So the suspect was being held. They're calling the suspect a primary aggressor, a 31-year-old guy. His name is Giovanni Ramirez, and this beating was so bad it left the fan, his name's Brian Stowe, with brain damage. And was this just a random weird thing that happened? Was it specifically because they had the San Francisco Giants stuff on? And so, boom, they picked him out. I mean, we'll see what comes out of what they get out of this Ramirez character. He's held on $1 million bail, so I don't think he's going to get out anytime soon. The good news for the family of the Stowe family, anyway, is that they have somebody in custody, and that has to make them feel better about that, because they really have been combing the streets of Los Angeles, offering rewards, all kinds of things. I mean, I think the rewards were up to $200,000, something like that. And there was different descriptions because there were some cameras that they had that they could try to make out who the people were. But that's good news, because you figure, you know, maybe they'll get the rest of them anyway. And the Giants feel very good about it. They released a statement commending the LAPD for what they've done, and also the support for the Stowe family too. And the Dodgers have ponied up some money, and they've tried to help that family as well. Terrible, terrible thing. That's when you're taking the whole fan stuff just way too seriously, way too seriously. If you have any thoughts, send them to me through the website, americatonight.net.